Yesterday, Donald Trump officially won the Electoral College vote after losing the popular vote in November's election. So because that happened, what is the point of the Electoral College? Former Washington State GOP Chair Kirby Wilbur says the Electoral College actually works really well. It has for generations. But Nation correspondent John Nichols wants to see the Electoral College abolished. So when I talked to John Nichols, I asked him about the Hamilton elector movement. That's what some Washington state electors are calling themselves. And their plan was to try and keep Trump from getting enough electoral votes. We know by now that didn't happen. But what if it had? Would that change John Nichols' mind about getting rid of the Electoral College?
No, it probably would have made me dislike it more.
Why?
Well, because they were proposing, at least some of them, were proposing not to elect the person who got the most votes or the person who got the second most votes, but somebody else altogether. The problem with the Electoral College is it is a radically, deeply, disturbingly anti-democratic institution. The last thing you would want to do is make it even more anti-democratic. So no, it wouldn't change my mind. The Electoral College should be abolished. It should not exist. It should never have existed.
So how do you think we should elect a president, then, if not by using the Electoral College, John?
Yeah, I think we should just, you know, I've got a radical proposal. I know it's kind of way out there, but maybe we could do it the same way we elect school board members, city council members, state legislators, mayors, governors, members of the House, members of the Senate, and the way that presidents are elected in countries that we advise on how to develop functional democracies, by giving it to the person who gets the most votes.
Okay, Kirby Wilbur, you think we should keep the Electoral College. Why?
Well, I think the Electoral College is a sign that this country is not a democracy. We use democratic processes, but it's a federal republic. And the Electoral College was set up by the Founding Fathers in the early days of this republic because it was an experiment. Nobody was sure what would happen, how it would work, that we were a totally brand new system of government. The founders relied on their experience and their knowledge of history. In politics, the Electoral College was set up to assure that the passion of the mob, if you will, that people did not make the wrong decision. And it's evolved over time to really represent the 50 states within the federal union, to really require a candidate for president to campaign throughout the entire country, not just the populated areas, and to make sure a president addresses the concerns of the different regions of the country. We have a very diverse country with diverse interests. We have agriculture, manufacturing, we have resource. We have people with oceanfront, we have urban areas and suburban areas and rural areas, and the Electoral College really does, I think, compel candidates to campaign in all the states and try and come up with a platform and policies that appeal to people and suit the needs of all these various diverse elements within our country. And it's worked us well, it's done us well, and it represents us as a federal republic and the states within that federal republic. Therefore, since it isn't broken and it works, why change it?
Well, as you said, the Electoral College was it kind of forces presidential candidates to go out and campaign in all kinds of places and listen to all kinds of interests so that they can win the presidency. But we also learned this election cycle that at least Alexander Hamilton wanted the Electoral College to function as a way to keep a demagogue from getting into office. And right. So let's say that the Electoral College doesn't exist, whether it does or not. Should there be some sort of safety mechanism to keep a demagogue from taking office as Alexander Hamilton wanted?
Well, I think that is one of the purposes it serves, and that was its original purpose, to protect us from the passions of the mob and democracy. John says he believes in democracy. Therefore, if a demagogue got 47% of the vote and more vote than anybody else, I guess he'd be president. The Electoral College allows the states and smaller states and different interest groups to have some say in it, and it is the last line against demagogue. And I know a lot of people on the left think Trump is a demagogue. A lot of people on the right thought Obama was a demagogue. Somehow it's worked, and we have not elected a demagogue in 200 years of electing presidents, 225 years of electing presidents. It's worked so far. So I do believe in it as that, and I do believe electors have a responsibility in an extreme case. I don't look at this as an extreme case.
John Nichols, I am curious to know, what do you think will happen with our presidential elections if we continue using the Electoral College system?
Well, they'll continue to be unrepresentative and dysfunctional. They will be anti-democratic and, frankly, highly disrespectful of small states, of rural regions, of the full of the country. I couldn't disagree more with the fantasy that the Electoral College causes people to campaign in all regions of the country and to reach out to the whole nation. Nothing could be further from the truth. The fact is that many states in the country are barely ever visited by a presidential candidate. And, interestingly enough, where they do come to visit, even in some big states, it's usually a fundraise so that they can buy TV ads that then go back into a handful of Electoral College battleground states. So it's the opposite of that. What we will see as elections progress, if we continue to be in this model, very strong likelihood that you will have presidents elected with smaller and smaller minorities of the vote. Now, this isn't always guaranteed. You could still have a popular president. But what we now know is that as more and more Americans move toward the coasts and toward cosmopolitan centers in the middle of the country, there is a lessening of the influence of some interior western and southern states. Yet, these states will maintain, by and large, their same or similar level of electoral votes. So what you end up with is a situation where in Wyoming, 55,000 votes will get you an elector for Donald Trump. In California, it takes almost 150,000 votes to get an elector for Hillary Clinton. So we're on a very bad track right now as a country. We are on a track toward less and less of a representative democracy and less of a circumstance where our presidents have the legitimacy that is conferred by having actually won the election.
Kirby?
Again, we're not a representative democracy. We are a republic with a federal system where the states, the federal government, local governments have different responsibilities, and the states are recognized as units within the federal union. They're not counties. They're not surrogates for the federal government. They're not administrative units of the federal government. They are states. And that's why when you want to amend the Constitution, you don't put it to a popular vote. Maybe John would do that, but it's up to the states. 38 states have to vote to amend the Constitution for it to become true. That's because we have these numbers built in, and that's also why the Electoral College will probably never be amended, because there are more than 13 little states, the smallest states, that like it and would never approve an amendment to the Constitution. So I don't think practically it would ever happen. But we have the amendment process, and like I say, John, good luck, because I don't think realistically you're going to have 13 or 14 small states say, yeah, you're right, we want to give up the power that we have.
Well, this is my last question for you both. John Nichols, how likely is it that we'll change the way we elect our president? Do you see any way forward to, as you're arguing for, abolishing the Electoral College?
Well, of course I do. I'm an American. I believe in the possibilities of this country. And I would suggest that small states might well lead in this process. I have a feeling that Vermont, our second smallest state in population, and Rhode Island, our smallest state in size, might be very inclined to get rid of an electoral college that has twice in the last 16 years allowed a Republican who was defeated for president of the United States in the popular vote to become president. And so I think, yes, it is possible. And you ask me how possible? Well, I would say it's at least as possible as getting votes for African-American men after the Civil War, getting votes for women in 1920. We have made tremendous strides as a country, sometimes in very difficult circumstances, sometimes in really divisive moments, because ultimately it was what needed to be done. And I promise you, abolishing the Electoral College is something that needs to be done.
Kirby Wilbur, what about you?
I'd agree with John. I think there's a possibility, and I believe in the system. And by all means, let's let the system speak. Let the people in the state speak, the legislatures in the state speak. And like most right-of-center people, we'll accept the result of the election. We won't contest it. We'll accept it. If they pass 38 states to vote to amend the Constitution, abolish the Electoral College, so be it. You play the political game. You play in elections. You win, you lose. If you win, you get to celebrate. If you lose, you accept the results. and we would accept those results without protests, without demonstrations, because the people have spoken. But it serves this country well, and the people should have second thoughts before adjusting with a system that's provided stability, order, and liberty for so long.
That's Kirby Wilbur, host on KVI Talk Radio and former chair of the Washington State Republican Party. We also heard from John Nichols, the national affairs correspondent for The Nation. They were discussing whether the Electoral College still works. And across the country yesterday, electors voted, officially making Donald Trump the next president of the United States. Here in Washington, four of our 12 electors went rogue, casting their votes for someone other than Hillary Clinton, who won the popular vote in this state. Here are the results of yesterday's elector vote.
For the office of President of the United States, Hillary Clinton received 8 votes, Colin Powell received 3 votes, and Faith Spotted Eagle received 1 vote.
You probably know who Colin Powell is, but maybe not Faith Spotted Eagle. She's an elder of the Yankton Sioux Nation and a critic of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Faith Spotted Eagle told CNN the pipeline was slated to run through sacred burial land.
The most effective way we could get that point across is if all of a sudden the Ocheti Shakoi decided to build a project through Arlington Cemetery. And I think then the point would be taken that you don't disturb people that have been put to rest.
Washington elector Robert Satayakum, a member of the Puyallup tribe, voted for Faith Spotted Eagle yesterday, and she's reportedly the first Native American woman to receive a vote for president in the Electoral College.